The Apple Mirror Effect. Is it the new drop shadow destined to be used by graphic designers whose designs aren't top-notch and so they throw in a drop shadow or two? Nah, I'm dying for an app that quickly lets me create the Apple Mirror Effect, and I think that it, just as it is with drop shadows, when applied in a responsible manner, it's great. But this week's app does a lot more than just applying that effect. Welcome to the 39th episode of Neat Little Mac Apps, the podcast where I talk about my love for those cool little apps that are out there. This week's app, Picturesque. Be sure to keep listening because we'll be giving away two licenses for this application. Keep in mind that Neat Little Mac Apps is an enhanced podcast, meaning that everything I talk about can be seen in the iTunes artwork window. You can click the links there as well, and you can check it out on your iPod screen, of course. This week's episode is sponsored by Outer Level, and they're the team behind License Keeper. Now, for those who don't know what that app does, welcome! Because obviously, you've just subscribed to the show. Now, download the 38th episode of this wonderful podcast, and you'll be presented with this stunning review of this application by nobody else than this very gorgeous host. Too much? Yeah, probably. Well, anyway, thanks to Outer Lever for adopting an episode, and if you want to thank them for this support, or if you're just in desperate need of a small but extremely efficient app to manage your serial numbers, please pay them a visit at outerlevel.com. Of course, hit the link in the iTunes artwork window to get there instantly. License Keeper, it's the easiest way to capture and organize software licenses. Okay, let's first dive into some developer feedback, because the people of Outer Level have sent me a nice and interesting feedback in my review. And I really dig this when the developer himself goes like, oh yeah, that problem and that problem, we're going to solve it in the next issue. And this is kind of what this developer also is going to do. The preferences, somewhere in the preferences, there was this option where you can send anonymous info to the guys at Outer Level. And the info in question is things such as your OS X version, the computer CPU, is it an Intel or a PowerPC, the default email reader, and stuff like that. And this helps to determine what OS and hardware the developer has to continue to support and test on. So it's kind of, it won't send you all your contact info and stuff like that. No, it just gives you some system info that will send to developer. And if you don't want it, you can just flip the switch and it won't send that stuff. The second thing the developer wants to mention is that auto detect email reader. Now, there is a functionality where you can say, okay, take the default email reader, and by default people shouldn't probably be touching this setting, because most of the time they'll just want the default email client to be used by this application. But if you want to, you can change this setting, which would enable you to choose another email client. For example, a lot of people use a combination of Apple Mail and then for their personal stuff, and then Microsoft Entourage, for example, for their work email. I can see the logic in this. So in short, he just added that feature for your own convenience. And then he wants to tell us something about the encryption. And he says, encryption, yeah, I know this is a popular request. I'm working on it, though there are some tricky things to take into account. For example, and I kind of compared his application License Keeper with some of the functionality in Wallet. And he says, well, Wallet doesn't have to deal with those attachments. So, for example, imagine that you attach a 20 megabyte attachment into License Keeper and you have encryption on. I will have to encrypt that stuff. Now, the way I thought about it was not really encrypting the database itself when I'm working on it, but more or less when I want to export it to .mac, for example, or to an external file, then it would be encrypted. That was more or less what I had in mind, not the day-to-day working on the system, because, and that's something that's really true, he says OS X has an encryption feature built in. You could use that, but that wasn't really what I meant. It was more like if I export this file to take it to somewhere else, can I encrypt it that way? Of course, I could manually encrypt the XML with some sort of encryption program. But it would be nice that when you export your file, it would be encrypted. Another interesting thing he says here is that if you encrypt a database and you forget your password, but hey, I've got Wallet to store the password for the database of License Keeper. Good, eh? Yes, I know. Anyway, and then some last thing he says, and that's the .mac syncing, and that's something he will definitely be adding in the future. So it's really nice to get some feedback from the developer telling us, okay, this and this I did for this reason, and that I'm going to implement because, well, you ask for it. And I really dig the fact that I get feedback from these guys. So now, keep listening if you want to know who won a license for License Keeper, because I'll be mentioning that later in the show. Okay, enough about License Keeper. Let's go over to the review. Picturesque, what is it? Well, I'm going to take this from the website because they really know how to nail it, what this application does. So Picturesque is this application that is designed to make images look gorgeous for the web. Okay, it has an animated drag and drop style interface. It can beautify your images with stuff like reflections, soft glows, shadows, delicate curves, strokes, fades in less time than it takes to open Photoshop. The current version is 1.0.0 and it's created by Aqualia, and you write that as Aqualia. And you can find out more about them at aqualia.com, but you can check out the link in the iTunes artwork window to get there fast. How do I use this application? Well, as from now, you'll see this picturesque-esque images appear on my site. Every time I want a little banner or a thumbnail or a logo to be put on the site and I want to freshen it up a bit and make it more cool looking, I'm just going to drop it on this application and wham bam slam, done. This app gives me the access to some great effects without launching the behemoth that is Photoshop. Again, there are some alternatives to this application, but this app has something special going on in both the functionality as in the looks. And we all know I'm into the looks of an application also. Now, how does it work? Well, the first thing you will see when you open up Picturesque, and I'm going to do this right now, is a simple drop window. So it just gives you the little dotted line saying you, okay, drop your images here. So I'm going to take an image, for example, let's say, let's take the picturesque banner. Doom, 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 doom. Floop. And immediately I'll get a representation of that image and I'll get a inspector window on the right side. Now, the look and feel of this application, especially the inspector window, is just like the Pro apps. If you know a little bit about Aperture, it looks a bit like something in Aperture, but it really is simple, plain. It's not like it's really difficult. It's one long bar with all the options you can apply to this image, all the effects. And I'm going to run them by you, and you'll see that this application really has some very, very strong points, and it really is easy to use it. As always with this graphical stuff, it's very interesting if you just check your iPod screen or the iTunes artwork window a bit, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see the little logo, the little picture change with everything I do. So the first thing I can choose now is the background color. Now, I've chosen black because a mirror effect and stuff really comes out when you have a black or a very white background, if you like. And so I'm going to go with black here, but that really won't matter in the output of the image at the end. So background color black. And then I go to the next tab, and here I can start adding a reflection. So I just activate reflection, and as options I can choose the length of the reflection, the opacity of the reflection, and the offset of the reflection to a maximum of 3 pixels by simply taking the sliders and dragging them left or right. And immediately you'll see, okay, I've got this really cool Apple kind of reflection, you know, the standard Apple mirror effect. And I really like this. If you want a mirror effect created in no time at all without going to Photoshop and masks and stuff like that, this really does the trick. So I have reflection. I go to the next tab, and that is a shadow and glow option panel. And I will activate this. And here I can choose 2 things. First one is I want a glow. So I select glow, and now I can also select the color of the glow, the blur radius of the glow, and the opacity of the glow. I can also deselect glow, that makes it a shadow, and now I can take the shadow around in the little example window and put it exactly where I want this shadow to appear. I can also change the color of the shadow. And a good tip for this, if you do a glow or stuff like that, it's very interesting to take a color that is already in the picture. So you can do this here because you get the standard OS X color picker, and you just hit the little magnifying glass and go and pick a color that is already in the picture. Let's take this gray. Okay, and you can move it around, and also you can change the blur radius and the opacity of that shadow. Now, the shadow and glow in this example doesn't really fit, so I'm going to deselect them. No shadows. Okay, and I'm going to go to the next panel, and that is curve. This really is neat. I think that this is some of the functionalities that really have drawn me to this application. Now, what does curve do? Let me activate this. Now, at any point, you can activate those or deactivate those panels. So by just clicking those squares there. And curve will curve the edges of the picture. Check it out on your iPod screen, on your iTunes artwork window, what I mean. And you can choose which corners should curve. So let's take top left, top right, bottom left, and the bottom right. I'll leave that open, so not curved. Yes, this really looks cool. And I can choose the curvature, so the radius for which this has to curve. I can go all the way 100%, so I get this little round thing. No, not really now. Let's keep it a bit squarish, rounded corners. Okay, and now my image is curved, and already it really looks great. Now, I could put this online. It would add 50% more of the niceness factor, the beautiful factor of this image. And then I go to the next tab, which is edges. And this basically lets me define a stroke around the image. Again, here I'm going to take a color that is in the image. Okay, let's take this brownish stuff. And I can define the width of the stroke. Now, you will very quickly see that when you make that width too large, it really doesn't look great. But if you keep it a decent number of pixels, okay, let's take 8, it really looks great. And here you can also choose whether or not the edges should fade. So you can kind of, let's say, let's fade, well, the left, right, and top, that really doesn't look good. Let's fade the bottom, so the mirror effect even comes out better. And you can choose the length of the fade. Let's say 30%. And at the reflection, I'm going to go back to the reflection panel and put the offset at 0. Okay. Let's try this, and that's it. Really great. So I got this little fading going on at the bottom of the picture. Really cool. So I'm going to close up this panel and go to the last panel, which is resize. And here I can simply resize the whole image, and I can export it then. So you see a couple of panels. You just go and select the basic stuff that you want to change, and you immediately see the representation in the main picturesque window of how your image is going to look. And what you can do now is click the Save As, and you can just save it to another format. Let's say banner. I'm going to change the name. You can choose between BMP, GIF or GIF or whatever, JPEG, PNG and TIFF resolutions. I'm going to take PNG because I've put in a little shadow and stuff like that, and I want to keep the transparency. You can choose whether or not, if you take, for example, JPEG, you can also choose the quality. Strange, I thought you could do that with PNG, but apparently not. Okay, and then I'm just going to save it to the desktop. And there it is, a beautiful picture. I'm going to open up here in Safari, and eventually you will see that there is no background saved with the image. So the background was just simply to show you the example, to make a nice difference. So I'm now opening it up in Safari, and still I have the transparency. I have the mirror effect on a white background here because there is none. I saved it as a PNG, so it also retains the transparency. Now, there are some functionalities that you can also select. If you go to the preferences of Picturesque, you have a very small preference window. It really is basic. You can choose whether or not the color background should be included, should be saved into the image or not. So if you want to be able to change the background of an image, you can do so, and it will save along with the image. You just have to select that functionality in the preferences. And you can also choose batching, whether or not it should override images with the same name. And I forgot to mention that, but you can batch a lot of images. All you have to do is just drop multiple images on Picturesque. Let me try this. So I'm going to the desktop. I'm going to take a lot of banners. I drop them on Picturesque. I will see the very first banner, and then very first of the images, and immediately at the bottom you will see two little arrows where you can flip between the different images that you have dropped onto Picturesque. So this is really cool. I can actually just throw in a lot of images on this application. I can set them on the first image what I would like to see, what I would like to see changed. I flip through the images if I'm happy with all the changes I made for all the images I've thrown into it, and then I just go okay, save as or save all, and it will save all of the images with the settings that I have done. There are also some Automator actions that you can apply, so it's compatible with Automator. Really cool. I'm not going to talk about the preferences anymore because the rest of the preferences is just the software update automatically or registration. That's all. So you see, it really is a basic, compact application that does what it's supposed to do in a very handy, user-friendly way, and it really works very fast. There are some developer tips, however. It's a very first release. It really doesn't have a lot of problems, but I do find some things strange. The first one is the stroking. You can only stroke to the inside of the picture. It won't stroke to the outside of the picture. So that should be an extra option, I think, in the edges panel. So you should be able to choose, okay, do you want to stroke it inwards, in the middle, or outwards, a bit like in Photoshop. That's not very hard to do, I think, and that should be an option. And a second developer tip is the resizing. If you resize the application, the stroking doesn't resize along. I'm not quite sure if this was intended, but if you resize it, the stroking remains the number of pixels that you have put in, and perhaps an extra option here would be nice too. I did find one teeny, eeny, beeny little bug, that is when you have an image in the main window and you go to File, Add Images, and you choose another image and you want to add that along to the first image. I have had sometimes that I got the little beach ball that wouldn't stop spinning. but it doesn't always happen, and I'm sure that in the next release that will be taking out of this application. But again, it's a very first release. It really works if you just use it in a normal way. I don't think you would really often throw in extra images and later on, but it is possible. It works, but sometimes it's a bit strange. Besides that, this application is the best, and you'll see lots and lots of images appear on my site. I think I'm going to do all the previews of the applications, you know, the little screenshots, with this application. It really is cool. Okay, so how can you win a license for this application? Well, it's very simple. Just download Picturesque, download the demo, try it out, and send me a cool picture with some of the effects of Picturesque applied to it. I don't really remember the demo limitations, but if you can't export, you can just take a screenshot of it and send me that. But I think you can export some of the stuff. I'm not really sure. Anyway, send me a Picturesque picture at contest@neatlittlemacapps.com, and the coolest ones will win a license for this application. I have two licenses to give away. Thanks, by the way, to the developer of Picturesque to present us those licenses to be given away. If you want an easy way to join into the contest, just click the link in the iTunes artwork window right now, and it will automatically open up your email client with the exact address. And then on to the winner of the License Keeper license, and that is Victoria Wren. And she really sent me a long email talking about how she eventually became a graphical designer in Cupertino, no less, not far from the Apple people. And she's saying, okay, I really have a tons of applications that I got throughout the years. And with this podcast and MacZot and Mac Heist and stuff, she really got a lot of extra neat little Mac apps. And she kind of is losing it when it comes to organizing all those licenses and registrations for these applications. And that's something a lot of other people told me too. She kind of made a separate folder in her mailbox, and there she just puts all the mails into. And apparently she's not the first one, but a lot of people have done this and have lost mail at a certain point of time and thus lost all their licenses. And of course, License Keeper helps you with managing all those things. So I really want to thank all the contenters, all the great mail that I had for this contest. I want to thank Victoria, of course, for joining in, and congratulate her with winning this license. It will be sent to you really soon. Hey, I might as well plug some of her stuff here. www.thespurts.com, wangdoodleland.com. I know, probably some of her sites that she created. She's a freelance designer. So check it out. And Victoria, if you happen to bump into some of the Apple guys out there in Cupertino, be sure to point them to this great podcast. It would be really great if I would know that they would be listening to it at Apple headquarters. Man, that would be really great. Phew. Anyway, some words that I want to mention about the Mac Pack, you know, the little thing that I talked about last two episodes. You can go to themacpack.com to get a package of 10, I think now it's 11 apps. The first time it was $30, now it will be a little bit more, because each time that they reveal one of the applications in the pack, the price goes up a bit. And I had a landing page promised for you listeners where you could go and buy the application, and thus you would help me out a bit, because I would get a little piece of the revenue of each package that got sold via that landing page. But that went hugely wrong. Apparently the organizer of this whole deal couldn't get that landing page working. I think it still isn't working really the way it's supposed to be. So just go to themacpack.com, buy it, don't go looking for a specific neat little Mac apps landing page, because it isn't there. But if you go and buy the application because you heard it at Neat Little Mac Apps, be sure to send me a mail. I've already got a couple of people telling me, hey, I couldn't use the link, but I went ahead and bought the application anyway. So send me the mails with the email address that you used to go and buy the pack, and I can send those email addresses to the developer saying, okay, these people bought the pack at your site because I mentioned it, and that way I could still get something out of this, because apparently now, of course, he doesn't see who bought this pack thanks to my advertising. I'm really sorry for the inconvenience. Wasn't really my fault, but again, I'm a bit ashamed. Anyway, thanks for Outer Level for adopting this episode of Neat Little Mac Apps. Check them out at outerlevel.com. See their software. They have some other stuff besides License Keeper also. And thank you to all the people out there for joining into the community of Neat Little Mac Apps, for sending the feedback, for listening to the episodes, and for telling your friends, family, and people at Apple Cupertino about this great podcast. And if you have an application that you think is truly special, be sure to send it over to me. I have quite a list of apps that I'm going to review now in the future, but still, all feedback is welcome. You can check out all the episodes at www.neatlittlemacapps.com. You can contact me there also. And if you're interested in supporting this show, you can check out the press kit on the site also. Music, as always, is provided by the British band Dark Horse. The track name is Starting Over. It's the instrumental version, and you can find out more about it at music.podshow.com. Thanks for listening, and keep loving those apps. Bye.
This show is a proud member of the techpodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
Techpodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.